listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
We were a colored clan of kinfolk who threw soil, not salt, over our shoulders, who tendered close the Bible, who grew and passed around the almanac at night so we would know what to plant at first light. Black soil and sweet brown sorghum. From the every morning biscuits Mama Susan fix, dripping and mixing up under our fingernails, a secret salve. Just like any other, living simple and keeping to our proud selves, quite aware of night riders, quite aware of men with politician smiles, cologne with kerosene and match, aware of just whose feet walked across our tin roofs at night. We were such light sleepers, such long distance believers. We were a family pregnant whose water had broke, and for once there was ham money, baka money. So we thought to do better by ourselves, to begin our next row. We would go and get him because he was medically degreed in baby bringing, because he was young and white and handsome, and because of that had been neighbor to more knowledge than us way back behind. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
Oh wait, I'll skip the line. I mean, and then the last line is the country's proud but inferior lies. Sorry, that was actually what I was like, that didn't end right. Anyway, guys, Black Guy Tips Wednesday, so you know what we're doing. We're talking Walking Dead, recapping it. As you can tell, we wound it down to the end of the season. Only three more episodes left after this. The dog days of the Walking Dead season. Although I'm super excited for Fear the Walking Dead. I've been seeing the trailers
for
those. It looks so good. I can't, like, I already think it's been better than the regular show for a while, but
me too.
Man, these new trailers.
Yeah, and they got Morgan over there too. I am so excited.
Right. Anyway, so yeah, today we're gonna do a podcast about The Walking Dead. Of course, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search The Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is an unofficial sport,
bullet ball.
At bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. We have an album out. We have two albums out. They're called Sunspot and Other Ratchetness and The Best of Rod and Karen. You can find them on Amazon or Apple Music, or you can also find them on Tidal and Spotify. Just search for The Best of Rod and Karen or Sunspot and Other Ratchetness, and it'll come up. We appreciate you after that. Also, just a quick announcement. I put the link in our chat room, mm-hmm. but I also put in the show notes. We have a new t-shirt out on TeePublic.
We do.
It's for our boy. Shout out to Jeremy. Rest in peace, Fetty Carl.
Rest in peace.
Is what the shirt says. It's for our boy Fetty Carl, who, you know, passed away. For all my Walking Dead fans, go out there and copy one, cause we missed our dog. So I'll make sure to get me one so I can commemorate the death of one of the greatest
dog of all
time. So rest in peace, Fetty Carl. And then of course, with this Walking Dead time, that means that we're gonna be recapping shit. So this is today is no exception. We'll just gonna get straight into it. It was episode 14, I think, like episode 13, is that right?
I don't know.
No, was it 12? I think it's 12, something like that. All right, so it's episode number 13. Okay, 13. 13 called Do Not Lead Us Astray. And it got 6.77 ratings, so it went back up a little bit more. Interesting. Ratings have risen 2 weeks in a row. At any rate,
I think probably because it's getting to the end.
Maybe. I think also less competition maybe for stuff, but also just there's small ticks up, and I think it's also just, in my opinion, the episodes have been better.
Come on now.
Than they were earlier in the season, and mm-hmm. especially than they were late last season. Late last season was such a drag.
Bad, yeah.
At any rate, let's get ready to recap this.
Oh,
I feel like this is gonna be another short recap. Everything happened in one location.
One.
Not even two. One location this week. Now there's a lot of shit that happened, but it all happened in one place, and I feel like, well, you don't have to skip around all over the place. It makes the show shorter, the recap show.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, and they also were trying to, like, they're doing this thing that I've been noticing a lot of TV shows have been doing lately, where they extend the DVR settings so that you end up recording some shit you don't want to watch. And in this case, the AMC tricked my DVR into recording The Terror.
Yes, it did. And I know you wanted to watch that, but I was like, what? And what they did too, and I talked to a coworker, the way they did it, you thought that, because they just ended it, and then it went straight into The Terror. And a lot of people thought it was going to be like a short clip, and then you was going to catch like the recap. But no, they actually showed the whole episode, and then showed that like the little Nixon on Walking Dead at the end of that.
Yeah,
so I would wait no hour.
You get the Talking Dead after The Terror. I knew it was gonna be a whole hour. They didn't like disguise it. They said, yeah, coming up next is The Terror, and it will have a preview of the next week's Walking Dead at the first commercial break. Well, guess what else they did? They went commercial free for like 30 minutes.
Are you serious?
So you basically watch half The Terror to get to the commercial break to see the clip. AMC, boy, they know what they're doing. At any rate, let's get into this episode. Do Not Send Us Astray. Karen, what were your thoughts in general?
I enjoyed it a lot.
All right. Yeah, I liked this episode a lot. I kind of felt like the show got back to some zombie roots. You know, just the general questions that we have about the Z-Pac and people turning and shit. And it was also fun. And funny in places, and I enjoyed it. So let's get right into the breakdown. So it all takes place at the hilltop. Morgan is standing in the woods with a truck and by himself and just hanging out, and he starts having visions of Gavin, who we know died. He died when young Master Henry stuck a
gave him the business.
Yeah, stuck a spear through the back of his neck.
Yeah, he did.
So we know that Henry, you know, that Gavin is dead, and it's the ghost version of Gavin that does have a hole through his neck and blood on his shirt. And he says, you know what it is. You were supposed to. And my favorite part is the character Morgan, you know, Lenny James, has said, you know what it is, a lot of times in the past few, like in when he went crazy, when he was doing Clear, and the way he was talking to Rick and the way he was talking to Carol and shit, you know what it is like a staple of Morgan's thing. So it was clearly a figment of his imagination talking to him,
right,
as his voice with the you know what it is. And so Morgan was tripping so hard he swung at the ghost, y'all. Obviously it wasn't really there, but this nigga was tripping so hard he really thought it was there.
Yep.
After that, people start setting off their car horns, which we know is the early alert signal that the saviors are coming. And so Morgan goes, that wakes him out of his whatever, and he goes and blows the horn on his truck, and then they show a bunch of people blowing the horn. Lastly, Daryl Dixon blows an air horn on his motorcycle. Then inside the hilltop house, the mansion or whatever, young Master Henry asked Ezekiel for a gun, and Zeke was like, no.
What you will not be doing, young master.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't like the idea of that psycho kid having a weapon. You know, not saying that he necessarily is the most dangerous kid in the world or anything, but he's too young. He's caught a body already.
And that was Carol's thing, was like, hey, Morgan, like, you think he can handle it. He really can't handle it. Mm-hmm. You're actually putting a lot of shit on him. And not only is he not okay, you ain't okay.
And like, as Zeke was like, no, you can't have this gun, and put the gun away, Henry was just eyeing the gun hard as hell. I could hear his theme music just playing in his eyes. I was like, nah, don't let this little nigga have a gun. Okay, he's trying to go Columbine on somebody. So they took the gun and was like, nah, you can't have a gun. And then he told Carol, when Zeke said no, he told Carol, he's like, you know I can help. And Carol was like, boy, if you don't sit your little ass down, you know kids that fuck with me come up missing or dead.
Come on.
Now you need to stay inside like Zeke told you.
And then I'm trying to protect the kids and they keep fucking with me.
Right. Then Zeke tried to do some head games on him, some reverse psychology, where he was like, Henry, I'm depending on you to protect them. And I'm like, okay, I don't know that reverse psychology works on this little kid.
Not in this situation, because he in order for him to feel like that, honestly, you'd have had to give him the gun in order to be like, hey, I need for you to protect these people, but you didn't give him a weapon. So he's like, what the fuck?
So we cut to outside. Sadiq goes to the infirmary because remember, he used to be like some kind of a like medical assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes to the infirmary to help out, and they got a new Hilltop doctor named Dr. Dana, and she was getting real aggressive on my man.
Sheesh, hun, it looked like she was 53% of it up on him.
He just came to help, okay? And she was like, nah, I don't think so. I'm about to call you I'm about to act like you ain't shit. Like, she was really just acting like, what are you doing up in here? Why you think you can help people? And all he was trying to do was sit some blankets down. Like, he just went to sit some blankets down and help out. And she was like, hell nah. You a piece of shit. And I'm like, here she go, racially discriminating, profiling this man.
That's what I was thinking.
She don't want no nigger hands in her thing.
None of them darkies.
Right. Are you a terrorist? Where you from? and so.
Where you born here?
She questioned all his credibility, like, well, you ever had to make a tourniquet and deal with cutting somebody's arm off? And he was like, no, but I can learn. And she was like, oh, so you can learn now? You gonna learn? He was like, nigga, I have had to learn every day of the zombie apocalypse. I've done a lot of shit I didn't think I could do. That's what the fucking point of the zombie apocalypse is. We all doing shit that we didn't know how to do yesterday. Now, do you want my help or not? Okay, because you can either tell me where to put some blankets, or you can start telling me how to do shit that's actually gonna help people, because we got a war coming. And then she stopped and was like, I like you. Get ready. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, what about that speech made it seem like, well, now he definitely knows. you know what I mean? Like, well, now he got expertise because he cussed me out. Yeah, he had to hit her with the all my life I had to fight speech for her to be like, you know what, actually we do need help, nigga. Just do the help, just get help, because he came there.
No shit, look like it's just you. What are we talking about here?
She was like, you know how to hold a body down when there's no sedatives, and can you do it while shooting a gun? And he was like, look, we'll see when we get there.
We'll see.
If you in that situation, trust me, you gonna need extra hands. Ugh, she was the worst. Dr. Dana, I don't like her.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, outside, the Saviors drive up to the Hilltop, and Maggie's like, here we go. And then the Saviors get out of the cars, and Simon gets a call on the walkie-talkie from Maggie, who says she wants to speak to Negan. Now, we know Negan ain't with them. Negan is somewhere kidnapped.
Yeah, but she don't know that.
Right. But Simon comes out of the car, y'all, wearing a black leather jacket like it's the Negan uniform.
Come on.
I mean, do they get Negan uniforms? Like,
that's
a
staple uniform.
Do they have random spare black leather jackets laying around in case Negan goes missing?
I think they do. You know, they probably have a leather maker back there somewhere. You graduate from Negan school, you get a leather coat.
The other thing is, so y'all weren't wearing leather coats when Negan was in charge, but once Negan gets in charge, somebody else gets to wear a leather coat.
You think they open up the closet like SpongeBob, all them shits look the same?
Right. Yeah, I don't know, because it didn't even look like Negan's leather coat. It was just a leather coat. Right. I feel like everybody in the crew got a leather coat just in case Negan dies and they get elected to leader. They're like, okay, where's my leather trench coat? Now I'm gonna be wearing this.
This makes me official.
Yeah, I'm not in the Matrix. I'm Negan. So yeah.
Don't do crowns. Just give me that leather coat.
Don't do what?
Crowns. Just give me that leather coat.
So then Maggie's like, listen, it's me. I won't speak to Negan. And Simon's like, well, Negan ain't here. See, y'all got y'all little gate closed. but I'll tell you what, I'm needing it now, even though my birth certificate says Simon. And let me tell you something else. The time for all that challenge shit is over with. We coming in and fucking y'all up. It's time for y'all to pay. And Maggie was like, well, I still got 38 of your men in here, you know, as prisoners of war. And this nigga Simon went full Donald Trump. Just, I don't like soldiers who get captured. I like soldiers who don't get captured.
Right.
I don't want these weak niggas.
Don't like no prisoners of war.
Right. Now keep in mind, she had the prisoners of war on the balcony with her listening to the walkie-talkie. So she even put one, the handsome savior, who I don't know his name. Mm-mm. She put him on the walkie-talkie too. He was like, come on, Simon, don't do this, da da da.
Right.
Simon's like, man, I don't give a fuck about that shit. You shouldn't have got caught. So he basically said their lives was forfeit because Maggie said, I will kill these people if you come in here. So then,
which was fucked up, because the thing is, he actually cares, because he was the one pitching a fit and mad when he found out that they was up there in the first place.
Right. So then Gregory, oh, second guessing ass, he's up on the balcony with them. I don't know why she let him be on the balcony, because he's not a savior and he's not a person that the saviors care about. Should have stayed in the pen.
Correct.
So on the balcony, Gregory is there. He's like, I should have told you that cockamamie plan wasn't gonna work. And then she turned around and was like, it will. And then Simon informed the saviors that the plan is not gonna work. Fuck that shit. We are gonna kill the Hilltopians. And Dwight was like, are you sure that's what he'd want? We don't know that Negan is dead.
Right.
And Simon was basically like, man, nut up or shut up, dog. That's a future problem. I ain't got time for your bullshit right
when
now,
we
player.
Cross that bridge when we get there.
Right. Like, we right now it's better to ask, to beg forgiveness than ask permission. We going in there and fucking them up, and we'll deal with that shit when he can get back. And so then right when they were talking about it, Daryl drives by on his motorcycle, and this nigga done got a gun turret on this motorcycle, y'all. Now I don't know when they took welding class, or if that's just something you find.
He got the Taylor from Black Lightning souping that shit up.
Right. I don't even know how you really drive with a gun turret on Gambi. Your shit. Yeah, Gambi. Yeah, he. But anyway, he fucking drove by like fucking machine gun three saviors, and then he drove right into the gate as they opened the gate for him to come through. So the saviors is like, all right, follow behind him, now we can get into the gate. And so as soon as they drove past the gate, a bus drove up and blocked the rest of the entrance. So like, they got past the gate, which Maggie didn't want them breaking the gate down, because then you gotta worry about re-securing everything again. So she let them basically come in the gate with her plan, and then they drove the bus into them so that you still had that stop, that pile up at the gate area anyway.
So they all, at least she was like, I can deal with some of y'all getting in here. All y'all ain't getting in here though.
Yeah, well, it was genius, because the other alternative was that they blow up the gate.
True.
So
true,
this is the only way to save the gate, because you still need the gate for zombies and shit. Mm-hmm. And it probably take forever to rebuild it.
Yes.
So, yeah, they end up, you know, having a shootout, like the Hilltopians are shooting from the like behind vehicles they have propped up inside, and they're shooting from the balcony of the house, and they were shooting them up good too. They was winning.
They was ready.
And so Simon and them take cover, and then he orders his archers who have been hidden in the truck to return fire, and they shoot their bows at the Hilltop people, and they hit a few people. They hit some of their own people too, some of the prisoners of war, but you know, they hit a few people with arrows, which we know are coated in the zombie guts.
Right.
So those people don't know it, but they were dead that moment. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really kill anybody with the arrows, but they did hit enough of them to wound them, and then everybody retreated inside. While they were retreating inside, the handsome savior, who I don't remember his name, mm-hmm. he asked for a gun, and he was like, Maggie, I can help y'all fight. We want to help y'all fight. We don't have no loyalty to them. And Maggie was like, go inside.
Right, because the thing is, he was like, basically, I just heard him on the radio say he ain't give a fuck about me. At mm-hmm. least, I mean, you ain't perfect, but goddamn, at least you better than they are.
Well, the other thing is, I wouldn't want to give him a weapon at that point either.
Oh, no, no. She was right by not giving him a weapon now.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, it's like maybe they have some division in their shit too, which, you know, we've already seen there's a lot of division on the Savior's side, and this conflict with Rick and them has really escalated everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she was like, no nigga, you cannot have a gun, go inside. So then lots of bodies dropping, lots of actions, all the shit. Tobin has a gun, he shoots a couple people, hides behind like a wall, reloads, comes back out to shoot more people, and a Savior stabs him in the guts.
Mm-hmm. Just slices him up.
Right, and right before the guy was about to go in for the killing blow, Carol sees it and saves Tobin, and she runs over to him and she's like, oh no, Tobin, you okay? And he's like, long time no see, baby. And she was like, I'm sorry, you know, whatever. He's like, hey, if I got to see you, that's the only thing that matters.
Right.
And I said, just fucking simp. Nigga, she ghosted you. Okay. And
I think she mosted him.
She mosted you.
Yeah, she did. She mosted you.
She mosted him. She gave him cookies. She gave this nigga pussy. She was hanging out, eating, going to picnics and shit. And the whole time she was never really into it, just ready to leave. So yeah, but he was just happy to see her again. And then while she was taking care of him, Sadiq came over and was like, Carol, you know, you one of our shooters. You know, this is like having LeBron James on the bench. You need to get your ass back out there.
Like, let me do this. You go out and do great things.
Right. So Sadiq came over to help Tobin and let Carol go back to fighting. Meanwhile, Simon and Dwight are creeping on around and they find Tara. And Tara's like shooting and she has her back to him. And Daryl sees Dwight and Simon sneaking up on Tara, but they're too far away from the shoe, or he's trying to see like what is Dwight gonna do.
Yeah, that, and before that he asked him to take her out and he said no.
He said Dwight, I know. Okay, so Simon says to Dwight, I noticed you ain't been shooting nobody, you gonna have to start pulling your part around here, you want to take this one? And Dwight didn't say anything. So they go around the corner.
Oh, I thought he told him no.
Nah, he didn't say anything. So they go around the corner and they start, you know, creeping up on Tara.
Mm-hmm.
And Dwight takes his crossbow and shoots Tara in the arm. And Tara turns around before Simon can stab her in the back and start shooting her gun. And Simon and Dwight have to run off. Daryl shoots at them. And then Daryl kind of like Daryl saw the whole thing happen.
Yes.
So you know, so then we come back to this. So then Daryl saw the whole thing happen, and Michonne comes over to get Daryl, like, we gotta go because it's time for the next phase of the plan. Maggie gave the signal, and Daryl looked like he wanted to actually go after Dwight. And Michonne had to tell him twice, like, no, come on, you gotta go. But he kind of looked like, I'm gonna go kill this motherfucker right now, because in his mind, I think Daryl's like, he double crossed us again. He shot at Tara. He meant to kill her. He's back with the Saviors officially.
Yeah, and also he actually yelled at her, which in addition caused her to turn.
Mm-hmm.
And
who yelled at her?
Daryl.
Yeah.
Daryl yelled at her, which actually, mm-hmm, she got hit by the arrow too, but it also caused her like to turn, because the thing is, if Dwight hadn't hit her with the arrow, whatchamacallit would have fucked up with that axe.
Simon was gonna kill her. So the Alexandrians shoot out the lights to all the Savior's cars. So now this fight is taking place at night. There's no lights, nobody can see anything.
It's dark.
So the Saviors group up and they advance in the dark because nobody's shooting anymore.
Right.
All the shooting is stopped. All the light is gone. Everybody's running to the house. And so the Saviors are thinking kind of like what happened to Alexandria, when Carl and them, you know, they had all the shooting and shit, and then all of a sudden they go inside, nobody's there, everybody's left through the back. So they're like, oh, okay, they may have escaped out the back again. Simon's like, these people are known to run, so we gotta scour this area very slowly. And so he tells the group to split up, like, half of y'all go around back, we're gonna go to the house. And they walk towards the house, and as they get closer in the dark, while it's completely silent, a bunch of lights come on from cars that are parked in front of the house, so they can't really see a lot. And then all of a sudden, from inside the house, people pop out the windows and start shooting them up.
And lit them the hell
they
up.
They lit them the fuck up. Everybody was catching bullets. And so they go running out of the back, out of the gate, you know, the way they came in, like, okay, retreat! It was like Cobra Commander, like, retreat! And so they turn around and start running, and,
next time, Joes!
Right, we'll get you! And, as they run out to get back in their vehicles to leave, Rick and that lucky ass nigga's married to Sonequa Martin-Green start coming in, and they start shooting from the other side. So, like, Rick and his cavalry or whatever have gotten there. This is part of the plan too. She had said earlier, she was like, where's Rick? I don't, you know. Well, this was part of the plan too that Maggie devised. Basically, as the Saviors try to escape, they're getting shot at from both directions now.
Right.
And so some of them do manage to get to cars and leave, but they have lost a lot of men in this attack.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really cool plan, considering.
It was very smart and very strategic, and I guarantee you this is some shit that they wouldn't have told Gregory. So right. It's like, Gregory, what the fuck are you talking about?
And Ricky Grimes was out there being, you know, murder Rick. He almost killed Sadiq.
Right. He walked up and was like, oh, my bad.
Mm-hmm. He didn't know.
Sadiq, I know, he was like, put on your Red Cross tag next time. You know how they tie their arms up with that red thing? I mean, you got to let me know.
Right. Sadiq was helping Tobin and looked kind of like from a distance he could have been over Tobin doing something like, I don't know, malicious, and Rick didn't recognize him as one of his people. And it was funny because Rick pulls out the hatchet like he's going to kill him. And he's like, oh, and then Sadiq turns around. He's like, oh, stay down. And I'm like, he already was down, Rick. Nigga, you can't get more down than that. He on his knees.
He was like, stay lower.
Right. So, they go ahead and, you know, clear out or whatever. The Saviors clear out. And so you just got Rick, you know, Rick and them killing people. And like, Rick ran out of bullets at one point. Like, yeah. He was stabbing niggas in the head. He was just
giving them the business.
Morgan killed some people too, and then he started seeing Gavin again, and Ghost Gavin was just staring at him like, you know what it is. And then Simon and Dwight escaped, and then Maggie comes back out and she sees Rick and she's like, I wanted to kill them all. And she was like, especially Negan. And Rick explained that he was late because he was trying to kill Negan. And she's like, basically, like, she was like, I understand. Like, they couldn't even have a fight about it or nothing. She was like, yep, if I would have seen the nigga, I would have killed his ass too. Fuck Negan.
Yeah, and they basically was standing there when everybody was running, like the good old boys, shooting all they bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Side by side. So, and that's why, when she say give her more money, pay the bitch.
Oh, Lauren Cohan, the actor? Yes. You gotta pay her. So Daryl sees Tara out helping and says, the next morning, and Tara's helping like with cars and fortifications and shit, and Daryl's like, what you doing out? You need to be taking care of your arm, you got shot with an arrow. Tara's like, it was just a scratch, I'm fine, but her arm was kind of like just hanging. And then she blamed herself. She was like, it's my fault really that this happened. And he's like, why? She's like, because he's with them now. Dwight is helping the Saviors, but because he has to, because I forced him to have to go back with him.
Right.
So she thinks he's still loyal to Hilltop and Alexandria, but
I do too.
But because of the situation, he has to look like he's down with them. And Dwight is like,
survive.
Yeah, Dwight's like, nah, fuck that shit. You can't trust him. I'm gonna kill him still. And he would be with us and not kill him if it wasn't for you, but now I gotta, you know, I'm gonna kill him. And she was like, well, I trust him now. And Daryl's like, how the fuck can you be like that after what you just did in the woods? Like, you was just trying to kill this nigga. And she was like, yeah, but you know, I was wrong, you know.
Yeah, she had to come to that realization, because her thing is like, hey, what he did. And I think her actually just sitting down and thinking about it made her realize, like, because I was chasing him and he actually gave himself up, which actually saved us and allowed us to get here in the first place. If he hadn't have done that, they'd have definitely would have found us and killed us. So it's literally my fault. I should have followed your instructions, but I decided to book up.
Right. He was sounding like Old Dog in Menace when he was talking to Kane, where he was like, they smoked your cousin right in front of your face. You just gonna let that shit ride? He was talking like that because he was like, they killed your girl. What about that? And she was like, yeah, I will hate him forever, but I had to let that go. And Daryl's like, well, if I see the nigga, he dead. So then Rick was taking the boards off of some of the windows in the house, and Michonne came in trying to get him to kind of like chill out because Rick hasn't taken even a second to grieve or reflect. He's just been going like a madman. He deviated from the plan. He came back late from the watch out thing, and I could tell Michonne was worried about him. And Michonne, it's so funny watching Danica Guerrero can act, because it's so wild watching her play Michonne versus Okoye.
Right.
Like, Okoye is very, like, forceful, powerful, very, like, you know, like, listen, this is like what we need to do.
Yeah, her presence is demanding.
Right. Now, it doesn't mean she's not funny and sensitive and all this other stuff.
Right.
But she also has this side of, like, listen, motherfucker, this is what the fuck we doing. Right? And when it comes to Michonne, Michonne was so, like, what's the best word? Not timid, but like
more gentler.
She was so gentle with Rick,
right?
Like, she's like, you know, hey, how you doing, you okay? He's like, I'm fine, we just need to take down these boards real quick. And she's like, hey, you got a cut on your arm or whatever, you want me to look at it? And he's like, nope, I'm good. I'm like, he's like, after we do these boards. And she was like, okay, well, I'm gonna go over here and do the boards on the other window. And then Rick says, I saw him at the convoy talking about Negan. He said, that's why I did it. I had to try. I had to. So basically, he's like, look, I had to try to kill this nigga. I know I'm cut up. I know you ain't seen me since this morning. I had to try to kill him. I just did, you know.
Right. And she understands. Just like she had to go with Daryl and them before. Like, she had to leave. She had to see it for herself. Like, sometimes you just got to do it, even if it don't logically make sense sometimes.
I really like that we're getting to the point where motherfuckers can be like, oh, yeah, I did that too. Cause like the hypocrisy was a thing that used to bother me.
Right.
It was that whole like, nah, you should have did this. And I'm like, well, last week your ass was the one out here acting stupid. So I think we need to have a little grace for people since we all do it. You know what I mean? So, you know, it was so good, you know, especially considering they had just had this plan where they had just been waiting on the savior so they could, you know, so they could get right. So it's like they really are humming along. And yes, people are gonna go off plan sometimes, but that's because everybody's a human being and everyone has their personal motivations for revenge.
Yes.
So then outside, Jerry's digging a bunch of graves for the Fallen Hilltop people, and the handsome savior nigga comes over to Maggie, and Maggie uncuffed him and told him he can go bury the saviors outside the gate under armed guard. And he was like, she was like you can bury your people. He was like, they're not my people, but I'm glad you see them that way. They're just people.
Right.
And I'm like, I kind of don't like this nigga too. He kind of like Jesus to me. Like, you're a little too hippie-ish for this part of the war. Like, you was with them evil niggas and now you all peace and love and shit.
And the thing is, he may have always been that way, but it like it's one of those things where you got to survive.
So then Diane comes over to Maggie and tells her, I love this scene because Diane waits till everybody leaves. It's just her and Maggie, and they're looking at the graves. And Maggie is like, and Diane comes over and she's like, basically, Maggie, you a good leader. Like, you had a great plan. You saved the gates by opening the gates and putting that bus in front of it. You saved the community and you saved lives. And Maggie is like, yeah, because these people sacrificed theirs. All these people basically are dead because of my plan. And she said, I only kept the prisoners alive because Negan is still in play. So basically, if it would have been Negan there and not Simon, she basically would have killed them prisoners. But because it was Simon and not Negan, she's like, well, who knows if his word is actually true authority on who gets what. So maybe Negan would have made a different decision to Simon and been like, actually release my people or whatever.
And you know what? I actually like their relationship, and this is just me, and I know
who's their relationship. Maggie and Diane?
Yes.
Okay.
I actually like Maggie and Diane's relationship. And I don't know if this would happen. I could see her actually leaving the kingdom and going to the hilltop and being Maggie's second in command, because I think she actually needs a second in command, and it don't need to be that little girl.
Yeah, Enid can't be it.
No, no.
So then, because they sacrificed their lives, I only kept the prisoners alive to see, because Negan was still in play. And she said that she sent that body to Negan to lure him to the hilltop so he would be angry and he would attack them. And then she was like, I was gonna catch him in here, and I was gonna make sure that Glenn's grave was the last thing he ever saw before I killed him.
And the thing is, it actually worked on Simon. That's why Simon showed up.
Right. But just didn't work on Negan.
Right.
And Negan, what the gag is, it wouldn't have worked on Negan.
No.
Because Negan's plan was different. He was like, shoot some arrows, chop a couple people up, and then we head for the, we're not trying to win the battle right now.
Right. He wouldn't even have went in.
None of, like, his people probably wouldn't even have really died. Not correct. That many.
Right.
Like, Simon went up there and lost a shit ton of people because he couldn't stop.
Right, and it's one of the things where Negan's plan was, because Negan thinks of bodies as almost like property and money as people as power, like they're a commodity. Like, you know, you got to have live people, like, in order to do the shit you want to do. You can't be out here just willy-nilly fucking around and lose a bunch of people, because it defeats the purpose.
Yeah, he said people are the most valuable resource,
and they are.
But also, just, he's not stupid enough to fall for the trap. But Simon was, and lost all their people.
Right.
Now, the other part is, Negan's plan was so foolproof, even dumbass Simon still managed to execute the plan, which we'll get to.
Yes, he did.
So, she says, we won today or whatever, but all of this came at a cost, and she doesn't know if that makes her a good leader, but she regrets Negan isn't in that pile of bodies. Which, I love this, because she's basically saying, like, what you call good leadership is also me being petty as fuck. I want to kill this dude because he killed my husband. And so these people lost their lives behind that. You know, I don't know that this necessarily was the right thing to do, you know, because say what you will for like a Gregory or Ezekiel, to for the most part, their people were still alive.
Right.
And that, you know, they can make an argument that the reason we were friendly with the Saviors is because we essentially wanted our people to live.
Correct.
And anything else would have been pride and hubris and da da da. Maggie's walking that thin line between, am I doing this because it's the right thing to do, or am I doing this because it's going to give me my revenge?
Right, right. Am I going to do it because it's a protection for my people? And, you know, if a few people die, that's understandable. Or, like you said, am I doing it because I'm actually looking for revenge?
Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
And that's a true statement.
In the infirmary, Carol and Tobin have a heart-to-heart. And he says if he knew getting stabbed would get her attention, then he would have done it sooner.
I know. It's like he went on Instagram and was like, damn, girl, if I know stabbing you would have got you here sooner, I'd have been stabbed myself.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of Tobin. And it's because of shit like this, you know.
Oh, he a simp.
Yeah, like, as soon as he started talking to Carol.
I don't like the way he treats you. He doesn't deserve you. He really don't.
This nigga said if he knew getting stabbed would get her to come talk to him, he would have got stabbed sooner.
Come on.
And I said, I cannot wait for the zombie virus to do its work on your ass. Zombie virus, do your thing. He asked her if their relationship was real, and Carol was like, I didn't want it to be real, I was pretending, I was trying to live a lie. And he was like, damn, well, let me down easy, why don't you? And she was like, look, man, I left because I couldn't keep faking it, and right, I basically left before it turned real.
Right, because I think it was going to turn real.
She's like, I don't want to be homemaker Carol, okay? I'm in these streets. I'm catching these bodies. And I'm
gangsta, bitch.
I was having PTSD nightmares and shit. And I just was tired of the fighting. She said, the Saviors was coming. I knew we was going to have to fight again. I don't like fighting. So I said, let me get the fuck out of here. And then he asked her, like, well, what about when this is over with the Saviors? Are you going to leave again? And she was like, I don't know. I might accept that some of us are lucky enough to just live and others are lucky enough to just fight. And he says, so you don't think it ends? And she was like, oh, it never ends.
Right.
She's like, some of us are lucky enough to get one more day, one more night, one more morning, da 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 da. And there's a montage of like her, like, you know, Maggie and them watching people get buried, and the savior outside burying his people outside the fence. Mm-hmm. And then the last little thing in the montage is young Sir Master Henry picking up a motherfucking assault rifle.
This little nigga.
Looking like he had just been listening to some Marilyn Manson and was looking for his trench coat.
Come on.
I was so disgusted with this little nigga.
Right?
I hate him. I don't know if I've ever said that about a kid on this show.
I mean the other kids.
Maybe Lizzie.
Maybe, but it's one of those things with, I don't know. Not to this point, no.
I need him to go look at the flowers with Carol. I hate this little nigga.
The flowers, the bushes, look at something.
He's legitimately the worst kid ever on this show. What are you doing? Sit your little ass down, okay? So he picks up a gun and leaves. On the porch, Rick has Sadiq. Rick is sitting there and Sadiq sees him. He's like, hey, you got a cut on your arm or whatever. You let me attend to that wound. You wouldn't want to get affected. And then Sadiq comes over and Rick, you know, basically just begrudgingly is like, come on, do your thing. And, you know, because Rick, I think every time Rick looks at Sadiq, he thinks about Carl dying for this nigga.
Correct.
And he's like, what's so special about you to my son ain't here? And as petty as that is, he can't get over it. But Sadiq comes over to help. And Sadiq tries to drop some damn knowledge. Try to drop some Bible knowledge. Talking about it's a verse in the Bible that says this is it. And Rick is like, man, shut the fuck up, and got up and walked away.
Right. His thing was like, look, my preacher ain't here. The black man who normally talks to me ain't here right now.
Right. He was like, my blind black preacher would have had better shit to say than this.
Right.
And then Rick leaves before Sadiq can even attend to the wound. So hopefully they not setting us up for something to happen with that wound.
Come on.
Then Maggie has a discussion with a random hilltop dude who was injured earlier, but he's like, I'm fine now. And everybody is in the mansion together, sleeping in the main room, except for the injured people who are in the infirmary, and some of them are in the beds in the bedroom upstairs. Now keep in mind, the injured people have been hit with weapons that might have zombie guts on them.
Correct.
All right, so it's bedtime. Everybody's like, I'm a little wounded, you know, but I'm okay, sleep through the night.
Because of normal circumstances, they would have been just fine.
A lot of people was like, well, we'll get to it. But so then in the infirmary, and then that same dude told Maggie she was a good leader. Mm-hmm. And she started smiling because he was like, look, Gregory would have had us basically being being the savior's bitches, and you saved us from that.
Come
so
on.
Thank you.
You willing to fight? We willing to fight.
So in the infirmary, Tobin turns into a zombie in the middle of the night in his sleep.
Yeah, he got that zombie appia. It was like,
yeah. Zombie sleep appia.
Yeah, he did. He was stop breathing.
And so he came back to life. And one, Tobin was the goddamn hungriest zombie we've ever had in the history of the show.
Come on.
I've never seen a zombie as just greedy as this motherfucker.
I want them all.
Well, now they did have a guy down there who was just there to check on the sick people and see if they were okay.
That was
and
his job.
He woke up in the middle of the night and seen that one of the dudes had a bad fever and was like, I'm gonna go get somebody to help you. Not noticing that Toby had turned into a zombie in his sleep.
Right.
And he goes to walk out the door. Tobin gets up from his sleep and bites his nigga in his neck.
Right, because why would he think that he was going to turn into a zombie?
Right. Now, see, there's this thing that people say on Twitter that they're like, well, every time you go to sleep, I mean, haven't we figured since the prison, you don't sleep around people. What if they die? Da, da, da. And I'm like, y'all say that, but that's not realistic.
That's right.
Like, the vast majority of times that someone goes to sleep, they wake up just fine. Not very many people are going to be that kind of paranoid to take that precaution every night. No offense, you know. And then these people were wounded, but all the wounds were wounds that they didn't expect them to die from or even get sick from.
Right, they have been patched and repaired.
Now, I would say after this, you might start seeing some differences. Like, we need to strap these niggas in or something. I don't know, but, you know, it's just, I don't know. This is just a hazard of the Z-Pac.
Yeah, it is.
At any rate, Tobin ate that nigga's neck. And then another woman came to go check on the infirmary, and she got eaten by Toby as well.
Yeah, that's the, ain't that that same woman that was being all feisty?
See, I don't know, because she didn't have glasses on.
Yeah, I think it was that same
woman. So you think it was Dr. Dana?
Yeah.
Dr. Dana looked like Patty from fucking, from The Leftovers, too.
Yeah, and the reason why I think it was her, I think she had, like, got up and started moving around. I think she seen the door open, and that's what drew her in there.
Yeah, it's just weird, because I watched it again today, and I don't know. This show seems like the kind of show where they would put glasses on her. But I don't know. Maybe it was her. Maybe she died. You know what? I can actually wiki this. What am I doing?
I think it was her. I might be wrong. I think she.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. Okay. I just want to give the right information to our fans, because I don't know.
Okay, no problem.
You know what I mean? I'm just trying to help, but
I don't know if she nearsighted or farsighted. That's probably why she didn't see the zombie.
She didn't have her glasses on, and she did see a bunch of blood at the door.
Right.
And she's like, where all this blood come from? And then Tobin came and was like, surprise, bitch, it's me, Tobin. And he just started eating her up.
Meat.
Which, you know, was sad. trying to find, this is a website that has the Walking Dead episodes who died in them, but I can't find it right now. Anyway, I'll look it up to see if it was that woman. Walking Dead. All right, and we'll come back.
No problem.
All right, so then Tobin's Dyke, the woman who came to check on them, mm-hmm. as well. Zombie Tobin's getting it in. Then inside the house, the dude that was talking to Maggie, who said he was injured but he was okay. Nigga, he was not okay. He was a zombie. He woke up from a zombie sleep, right. And he fell all the way down the stairs, waking exactly zero
nobody
people.
Up. Cause he tumbled down the stairs. I was like, what the fuck is he a goddamn, feather? I heard that shit. I was like, oh, he gonna wake somebody up. No.
Right. Like,
I guess that war just took the energy out of everybody in the room.
Yeah, I was a little bit hurt by that, cause I was like, wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense that, everybody in the fucking house asleep. Like, I really felt like somebody would have heard him.
Nobody up.
Right. I mean, he fell down all the way down a long ass flight of mansion steps.
Almost like the cartoons when they roll.
Right. It was ridiculous. But at any rate, he fucking falls down and, he ends up, you know, making a lot of noise. Also, now this part was a part that of all the things that was a sight. Now we do know this show has convenient walkers, okay?
Of course.
Convenient zombies rule the day. I have stopped questioning it.
Right.
People get frustrated and angry over it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why. Somebody hit me up on Twitter talking about how come it took Carl so long to change and these people didn't take long to change. I don't know. I don't give a fuck. Let's get it on. Turn and eat these motherfuckers. Carl deserved a long death.
Yeah, he did.
These motherfuckers, I don't know them.
All these folks is extras.
Tobin, he can die immediately. He got to say a couple sentences. You know, also, I think that episode with Carl, the way they cut it up, it was filmed in a much short, like, the runtime on the TV show, like, in real life was like a day, but in, you know, in actual real lifetime, it was like 3 or 4 weeks that they showed since he got bit to when he died, but that was basically all one day that shit happened.
Correct.
You know, but let these niggas tell it, right? Niggas. They end up going to what season of Walking Dead is this? 8 or 9?
I wanna say 8.
Okay. All right. Gotta find the episode so I can tell these people
what is it, season 8, episode 13?
Oh, you know, yeah, season 8, okay. I'm just trying to see if Dr. Dana died. I'm all working in the background over here, guys. No anyway, problem. So that dude falls down, doesn't wake up. He's a zombie. No one wakes up. Other zombies start walking in the door. Somebody left a door open in the middle of a war with the saviors. Now, I don't know if the lookout got ate or they cut that part out. It's just an open door for zombies to walk in.
Yeah, that's that convenient thing. And like you say, there were probably people on the outside, like I said, you should have shut the door. There are probably people on the outside that might not been able to come into the mansion, it might have been laying around as she just walked through the door.
Yeah, okay. And yes, it, Dana was the doctor. She did die, Karen.
Okay.
That was her without her glasses.
Okay, because she just has a specific shape. And I was like, that looked like the same
shape. It looked like, woman. I thought the same thing when I watched it live the first time. But the second time, I was like, I don't know if that's her without the glasses. Right. And I didn't want to rewind. But great call about you. That's why you're on the show. I missed it. So then, the fucking zombie star waking up, and just going.
It was like the rise of the dead, or was it Dead Rise, and everybody was like,
right. Like that motherfucker just, they start eating everybody.
Everybody was getting some.
Everybody was, it looked like when the Black Friday, it like Black Friday.
Oh, Black Friday sale.
The way they was fighting over humans and eating the fuck out of people, biting their necks and shit.
Sale.
And motherfuckers like, and it was chaos. Like motherfuckers got bit in the arm, and like Rick came in with the hatchet, cut somebody's arm off while Sadiq held him. Mm-hmm. Everybody was running out and they were trying to figure out how it happened. And
right. Cause it didn't make sense.
Meanwhile, outside, motherfucking Henry walks up to the savior PO prisoners of war. He walks up to their pen with his AR-15 or whatever.
With drawing pictures of mountaintops with him on top, lemon yellow sun.
He asked,
with his bump stop.
Right, with his bump stop. He asked fucking Gregory wakes him up. He's like, which one of these motherfuckers killed my brother?
I guess he didn't believe Morgan.
Right, which is also why I said reverse psychology don't work on this little nigga.
He was like, y'all just told me that to shut the fuck up.
Right, when Ezekiel told him to stay in so he could help everybody else. Like, man, he don't be listening to that shit. Little badass. Nah, I know you adults be lying. Nope, give me a gun. So, he basically was like, which one of y'all killed my brother? And Gregory was like, hey, I'm not even with them. I'm not one of them. I don't know. But maybe if you give me the gun, we could talk about it.
I'm like, you better not.
I'm like, well, he ain't that stupid. You know, he's stupid enough. He's smart enough to know his brother didn't get killed by Gavin. So he ain't stupid enough to hand no gun to this nigga.
Right. Because he's like, yeah, you the. Oh, that's right. He's from the kingdom. Right. So he right. Don't know him. Right.
So then the handsome savior wakes up. He's like, what's going on over here, guys?
Right, trying to make peace,
you know. And William is like, look, I'm gonna kill which one of y'all killed my brother, because it's gonna make me feel better, which sounds just like Tara 2 weeks ago.
Come on,
speaking of acting childish. And then the handsome savior's like, nah, don't do that, man. I had a brother and I killed some people and it didn't make me feel better. And then Jared, the one who did kill William's Henry's brother, he wakes up and he's like, man, what's up? And that, and the handsome savior's like, man, go back to sleep. And then Jared, they heard screams coming from in the house, which was the zombie attack. Mm-hmm. So inside, yeah, the zombie attack, they eating people up. And then outside, Jared is like, music to my ears. And the screams, of course. And that makes Henry immediately suspicious. He says, was it you that killed my brother? And I'm like, ooh, it was him.
Oh, he never admit it.
So then Henry takes out the key and opens up the fucking pen, y'all.
Yup.
Stupid ass little motherfucker. Opens up the pen. It's just him and his fucking assault rifle. And he's like, listen, which one of y'all killed my brother? Step up right now and I'll kill you. But if not, I'm gonna kill everybody. So just be brave and step up like a man so I don't have to, you know, kill everybody here to avenge my brother. And
you trying to be gangster for real.
Nobody stepped up, including Jared, who did kill the brother. He was all the way in the back.
Come on.
He's like, oh, no, I don't know. And so Henry starts counting down. And as he starts counting down, one of the saviors who got hit with an arrow
right
while they were on that balcony turns into a zombie and bites a nigga in the back, causing panic in the pen. Everybody freaks the fuck out, starts running. Jared tackles Henry, throws him to the ground, takes his gun. He's like, follow me, we getting out of here. And now all the fucking saviors have escaped amidst all this chaos.
Right. I was looking at it like, what the fuck do you... you do know that you're going in here with grown ass men. So if you ain't really ready to knock up your buck, little boy, you need to keep that gate locked.
I hate that little fucking bastard.
Cause I mean, I had issues with the other children, but not to this point.
What a bitch ass child. Like, I was okay if he would have just kept the gate closed.
Right.
And just massacred everyone. I would have said, now he's a psychopath, but I respect it. You know? Like, but this motherfucker went in there and fucked everything up. Thanks for nothing. Thanks for nothing.
Right. And guess what? He's doing the shit that a motherfucking child would do.
Ugh. What a bunch.
Yep, because that's how children say shit.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, so, and was surprised he got and was laying on the ground like, I can't believe you did this.
Right.
Bitch, a grown ass man tackled your 10-year-old ass. What did you expect?
I hope you got CTE. So he hit this little motherfucker and they all escaped.
Right.
So inside, they killed the last of the zombies.
Including Gregory. Gregory was the last one to leave. He was like, I won't be helping you.
Right. No, he wasn't going to help with no kid.
What?
So then inside, they kill the last of the zombies, try to figure out what happened. Black woman hits Tobin with a book, the zombie Tobin. It doesn't kill zombie
Tobin.
Right,
that nigga still alive. He done hate about 4 or 5 people already, y'all.
Right, he going sizzler on their ass.
He going high score.
Right. He fucking is about to kill this black woman. Carol comes in, saves her, and then she has a short moment of reflection of, oh my God, it's Tobin. I gotta kill Tobin, who she had just had that heart to heart with.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was like, nigga, you got to go.
Right, but she's Carol, so she killed him. And then, there's in this room with this black woman is this dude who's injured. That's on Rick and them's side. He got, cut in the arm, and he's like, they're putting it together, and Rick's like, how are they turning? You know, nobody got inside. There were no zombies. All these people are our own people. What happened? And Rick's like, Negan's back. It was covered in zombie blood. I didn't think nothing about it at the time, but.
Right. Thought he just popped some zombies.
Right. Like, maybe that could be what it is. The dude who was injured was like, yeah, I'm got the fever. It's killing me. I'm going to turn into one of those people. I need one of y'all to kill me. I can't do it myself.
Right.
And it was like, okay, whatever. And yeah, so they realized basically we now having chemical warfare basically with zombie blood.
Right.
New level. And you know, despite the fact that they quote unquote won the battle earlier, this had now cost them, you know, more lives.
Yes, it did.
And yeah, those people were alive to fight the battle, but how many of them were alive but they was actually the walking dead at that moment?
Come on, as soon as they were hit.
Right. So then they go into a room with Enid, Rosita, and Tara, and they tell them, hey, if you got stabbed or cut with these weapons, they turn the people into zombies. Now what I like about this, I think there's a couple things. One, I think the zombie bite, I wonder if the zombie bite comes with more of an infection and a sickness than the weapon coated in zombie blood.
I do. I think the bite is almost an instant, if that makes sense. Versus, I think if you get hit with a weapon, it's almost like slowly goes into your bloodstream.
Well, see, I'm not saying it comes instant, because I think you die and you turn about the same amount of time.
Right.
I just wonder how much of it is psychological, knowing you're gonna die, being in pain, knowing that there's time, like if you get bit by a zombie and you know you're gonna die, you know, while you might have some fortitude about it, you're still gonna die.
Correct.
Like Tobin kind of died peacefully in his sleep.
He did.
Like you couldn't even really tell. Like, yeah, and he was pale, but did. He wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna die, oh God, you know. The other dude had a fever. Like, I wonder how much of it's psychological to know you were bitten as opposed to being cut.
Okay.
Cause they still turned it about, you know, in a day or whatever, less than
right.
a day.
Right. Most of those people probably just died, just went to sleep.
Yeah,
woke up and was dead.
But if you get bit by a zombie, you know you got bit. So
right,
I can't even imagine trying to sleep through that. You know,
you know, right. Versus you thinking everything's okay.
Right. So at any rate, they figured this out. Well, guess what this means? Tara was shot with the bow from Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone's looking at Tara like, oh shit, that basically means you got a death sentence, because everybody else that got injured in the fight has turned. And Tara's like, well, you know what, it's my fault. And Dwight don't want to hear that shit, but she's like, if I wouldn't have made him go back, he wouldn't.
You mean Daryl?
Huh?
You said Dwight.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Daryl didn't want to hear that shit. You're absolutely right. Sorry, I always confuse those two. Daryl didn't want to hear that shit. And Tara's like, no, if I hadn't have made Dwight go back with the Saviors, he wanted to stay with us. He wanted to turn, but I just couldn't let it be that way. I wouldn't let good enough be, leave it alone. So I was like, fuck that shit. You got to die, and this is my karma. This is my karmic retribution. Me forcing him to do that forced me to get fucked up. And everybody's now like, damn, they expect her to die.
Yeah, and also, I think below Rosita being in the background, just dropping knowledge, mm-hmm. even though Tara didn't want to hear it the whole time, she was like, bitch, I understand. I feel you. Couldn't have nothing to stop me either. But I also was out here fucking up. Got people killed. Got people fucked up because I had to get this revenge.
Yeah, now one thing is, I don't think Tara's going to turn.
Me either.
I think Dwight probably hit her with a crossbow that's not tainted.
I do too.
And saved her life rather than took her life. Now, I don't know when our crew will realize that or when Tara will realize that, but hopefully they realize it before they see Dwight again and they won't think he's the enemy.
Correct.
Or maybe they do and they kill him anyway. I don't really give a fuck about Dwight.
And that's why he would rather hit her with that arrow than
let Simon knife her, because if not, if he would have stabbed her, she was gonna turn,
because
that knife was definitely covered in zombie guts.
Yes, it was.
So which makes me wonder, what is the Savior's conversation gonna be like next week? You know, if Dwight's like, yeah, I shot her with a bow, she should turn, and then they see her again, that'd be interesting.
And it's gonna be real interesting when Negan shows back up.
When Negan shows back up, shit. When that other woman that escaped, Paula, shows back up. If she shows back up and be like, Dwight a traitor. At any rate, so outside, Sadiq kills a couple zombies in the middle of the night. And then the handsome Savior saves Sadiq with a shovel because Sadiq is about to get overpowered by a zombie. And Maggie sees the handsome Savior is like, put that shovel down. And then she kills a couple zombies. And then she asks Sadiq what he was doing out there. And Sadiq was like, look, I'm just helping. I came to check on the Saviors in the pen. I came over there. They was all gone. Now, my first thought was, and maybe they won't go anywhere with this, but I was like, I could see somebody thinking he was suspicious. Like, so the new guy who's in the group happened to come outside while everybody turned to zombies and the pen was open with Saviors leaving. What the fuck? Like, was he out here releasing Saviors? Was he out here?
Yeah, for them initial conversation, but later on, they actually say.
I know.
Okay.
But this is my thing at the moment, right. Was like, I could have seen them being like, well, maybe your ass did something.
Correct.
Like, you running a distraction for these dudes, like, what's going on? Why is this dude helping you? Whatever. But, you know, obviously that wasn't true. We know Sadiq's not a traitor. So then she ends up asking the handsome Savior, like, hey man, why you ain't escape? If all your people got away, you know, why you ain't escape? And he was like, because some of us don't want to escape because we know the Saviors don't care about us.
Right.
They just was on the walkie-talkie talking about let them die.
How about fuck them niggas?
And, you know, you treated us good and we'd rather help fight y'all. We don't like Negan. We'd rather be on your side. And
yeah, because he was like, you know, we could have left at any time and all of us didn't leave.
Right. And they even cut to some of them, I think, trying to hold the gate closed to keep the zombies from coming in. So
right.
They were basically protecting everybody else. So then so then in the morning, Carol is looking for Henry, and Morgan sees her and everybody looking for Henry, and he has a vision of Gavin saying, you know what it is, over and over, because this nigga is going full blown crazy. And then they dig some more graves, and Diane and Maggie look at all the graves, and Diane asks Maggie, what is it? And Maggie says, the cost.
Right.
Because I think it bothers Maggie like a motherfucker. All them people had to die for them to have, you know, Hilltop for her plan and shit. And especially Her plan cost more lives than she thought at first, because they had them people that slowly turned into zombies.
Well, she didn't end plan up for.
Eating everybody.
Right.
So, all right. So what are you looking forward to next week, Karen?
That's a good question, because I didn't see the preview. I'm looking forward to see what happens when everybody gets back to the Savior's camp. I can see Dwight and them falling out. I can see old girl showing up talking about I got a secret to tell. I kind of looking forward to seeing what's up with the preacher and the mullet. What's up with them too? Because we hadn't seen them in a while.
Yeah, they show Eugene and the bullet make Eugene doing some shit with bullet making, and they sound like Rosita had a plan to go like either destroy the bullet making facility.
Mm.
Yeah, they also show what I'm mostly interested in, Negan with Jadis.
Yeah. What is she up to? Talking Ringlish now.
Like, that's my main thing that I'm into, and I want to see that. So, you know, we'll see. Was there anything else that I'm interested in? Yeah, I guess, and then whatever conversation happens with the Saviors. Because I feel like that Dwight's loyalty is going to get questioned. I feel like you got Simon, who just took a L, lost all those lives. Like, what is going on in their camp after this?
And not only Dwight, other people questioning his leadership, going, dog, all these people died.
Right. We didn't get any feedback this week. So nobody had any questions about The Walking Dead. Nobody wrote in anything. You know, less and less people are watching it. So maybe nobody just wanted to call in and let us write in and let us know.
Y'all didn't have nothing to say this week.
Yeah, we appreciate it anyway. I guess that means y'all get a short episode. Which that's a shame, guys.
That's
I was willing to talk about this longer.
Me too.
You know what? One thing I did want to talk about, guys.
What's that?
Did you hear about this dude at Howard University?
I seen something about them talking about it.
Some nigga named Tyrone.
Tyrone.
So it was a dude named let me bring up all this information first. It was a dude who worked for Howard University that allegedly got fired because he was accused of financial aid for theft.
I dealing with motherfucking financial aid, bitch. I kill you because you don't know how many people possibly got put out of school because you fucking financial aid.
Because
the process is already stressful and fucking FAFSA and all this other bullshit, and then you taking the money that's supposed to be mine. Oh, we would have a problem.
And Howard University recently had a bunch of stuff where students was like, hey, the dorms are fucked up, we not getting the right all this right care and stuff, we pay too much money for this,
right?
And this nigga stole $1 million.
$1 million, dog.
$1 million.
Oh, somebody gonna lose their goddamn, not only him, other people need to lose their job too for not keeping track and not knowing where this money's going.
Now someone wrote about it on the Medium, and then I believe the Medium took down the post and suspended the person who posted it, suspended their account. Howard University is front and center in a scandal where officials and students at the school allegedly stole around $1 million if aid from the HBCU. Tyrone Hankerson Jr. found his name trending on Twitter Wednesday after he was named in a Medium blog post alleging his connection to the crime.
So you basically suspended the whistleblower?
No. He's the one who did it, is what they
saying. Oh, he's the one that posted the post.
No.
Okay, I don't understand. Who posted the Medium post?
Someone on the Medium post who got their account suspended.
Okay.
Said this dude was out here stealing money.
Okay.
And his name is Tyrone, and that they say accused of stealing the money.
Okay, and why did they get their account suspended?
Because I guess probably legally you're not supposed to be out here telling people this shit happened.
And that's what I wanted to be sure.
Maybe they got a cease and desist.
Right.
Maybe Howard University hit them up.
Maybe they're doing an investigation.
Howard University also, this is huge, horrible PR at the time where, like I said, students are like boycotting campus and shit, saying our ceilings, our dorm is fucked up and shit. These living conditions are terrible. And then we find out $1 million might be missing of student aid, you know?
Yeah, how many people, first semester, second semester?
Right.
Had to go home.
Right. So, I mean, you had all that going on, but yeah, he was the guy they accused, allegedly.
In the Medium post, they got suspended, which is a separate person than Tyrone. That's what I want to be sure.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about whoever wrote the Medium post. I don't know who wrote it.
Right. Oh, no problem.
So I haven't even said who that person is or that name. I don't know anything about that person. But the Medium post had, this is what they wrote. Phony grants were allegedly created and awarded to financial aid employees who were also registered universities. In some cases, these employees qualified for tuition remission and therefore weren't charged tuition for their classes. Despite this, they still received large grants and scholarships that exceeded amounts generally to normal students. These grants almost exceeded legally allowed amounts.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know how they found that out.
Black Twitter says psychology edition.
Campus investigations.
Come on, campus investigation unit.
So then they said in 2013, for example, the associate director of financial aid, Brian Johnson, received tuition remission. And despite this, he also received university need-based grants totaling $34,400 one year and more than $68,000 the next year.
Good God.
These grants are intended for local students who are in desperate assistance and in danger of having their education disrupted by their inability to pay. The grant amounts usually range between $2,000 to $5,500 a semester. A current financial aid employee described the amount awarded to the former associate director as unprecedented and illegal. Total aid received by the associate director near $200,000.
You, who is the counting person? You mean nobody crunching them numbers and be like, motherfucker, is dollars missing? Dollars and cents ain't here?
Unfortunately, however, this is not the last time a grant of that amount has been awarded. Between 2014 and 2017, another financial aid student employee, Tyrone Hankerson, was repeatedly awarded $65,000 university need-based grant. In 2014, Hankerson was awarded another $22,683 scholarship labeled as a mock trial scholarship. Sources who have been involved with mock trial, including past leadership, say the team has never awarded a scholarship of that amount and wouldn't even have the budget to accommodate a scholarship of that amount. As a piece notes, this information came by way of a student only known as Chase. As to protect their identity. I see.
Yeah, they said with other people, and I was looking online, and they were saying that some of the people that got fired, they wouldn't releasing their names to protect their identity. But honey, back to CSI College Edition, okay, because I started seeing names and pictures post online. If you got motherfucking money, yes, put your, I can understand the anger.
It also states that Howard University brass were well aware of the scandal, yet chosen not to publicly address it. Hankerson's first name has been trending on Twitter since this morning, and a lot of people have reactions to it.
I'm taking no degree.
Yeah. A lot of people was like, I just want to know why his name wasn't flagged by the IRS.
Right.
He laundered $429,000 unnoticed. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't the IRS perform an audit on deposits over $9,999? Yeah, I want to know who got turned down for that, for them, for their scholarships.
I know motherfuckers is mad. I know people was like, hey, dawg, I couldn't get cafeteria food. I had to go home, bitch. I had to go campus. What?
Right. Somebody said they found his SoundCloud page, and he went by Ty Money. And he had music on there.
Oh.
I'm serious. That's what I heard. They said this is where all the money went. I'll see if I can play one of the songs, but
you in a professional studio, that's where y'all money went. They're making beats.
Slob on my knob, I'm popping these niggas like Cruz on a cop. Cut my shit clean like Asian with bop. Made back in Sweden, made all these bitches up. I always got access like a nigga with a fob. They tried to bust out, but the shit you cannot rob. Like them black boys in China trying to, you ain't clever enough to be Black China with the rob. I got these niggas like, how you doing?
First of all, Ty Money got bars with y'all money. Ty Money got, first his name was Ty Money, But he got bars a little bit. I like this. This is some good shit.
My financial aid went to this.
Yeah.
My meal plan went to this bullshit.
Listen, if you're gonna take my meal plan, then please have bars. That's all I ask, okay? I'm a simple man.
I couldn't get no textbooks.
In China trying to rob you, ain't clever enough to be Black China with the rob. I got these niggas like, how you do that, top? I drop a quick sickie, let eat your cot. Cause I'm with Lil, Jeremy, JC, then my niggas out in Brooklyn. If you popping off, crazy your wig and get it took in jail flow. Drop some bars now, all these niggas shaking. Drop a pic on Instagram, they ain't liking, but they looking. If you-
he was taking Instagram pics. Furred up, Karen. I'm not joking.
What?
Furred
oh,
up.
Oh, no.
I'm talking snuffleupagus fur, dog. Like, straight up, he had a picture where he was in some, like...
Did it have a like, cartoon?
It was like ballet loafers, and he was taking a
not
picture...
ballet!
Where he was, like, in the air, like, just jumping in the air like end of an 80s sitcom. It was beautiful.
Wow!
If you're gonna be embezzling, man...
embezzle right then. Goddamn.
You know what I'm saying? Floss, man. God don't want you looking, bro.
I mean, if we gonna plan to lay money, bitch, let's blow it.
Mm-hmm. I loved it. Back to bars, though. I need these bars in my life from Ty Money. I'm assuming the SoundCloud tape is probably taking that point. Oh, it stopped playing. What?
SoundCloud.
I don't got scammed with SoundCloud, y'all.
I know. The people like, hey.
By the way, none of the people facing facing criminal charges. None of them got fired.
Right.
$1 million.
That's why students is like, fuck y'all. Thing is, they better hope people don't see him in them streets. I mean, dog, I know I've been graduated from college all 20 years, but bitch, that rag, 17, 18 year olds have to go in there talking about a fucking family that you goddamn understand. Now I gotta go home because this nigga done took my fucking money. What? Nigga, I will put some hands on you.
Yeah, you done got declined. Wow.
Right. My money was there.
Yeah, we fresh out of scholarship, dog.
Step on my knob. I'm popping these niggas like the colonels on a cop. Cut my shit clean like an Asian with a bob. Made back in Sweden, made all these things sob. I always got access like a nigga with a fob. They tried, but the shit cannot rob. Like them black boys in China trying to rob. Yeah, clever enough to be Black China with the rob. I got these niggas like, how you do that, top? I drop a quick 16, let it fish a cop. Cause I'm with Lil, Jeremy, JC, then my niggas out in Brooklyn popping off. Crazy snatch your wig and get it shaking. Jail flow, drop some bars now. All these niggas shaking. Drop a pic on Instagram. They ain't liking what they looking. If you see me out, make sure it's D. It's mad.
It stops right there.
And, could you imagine somebody in there raise hell because they don't got enough money this semester? Mm-hmm. And you looking at them and your wingtip shoes that you took their money going, I don't know what to do. The computer say, man, I can just do what the computer say. No time you moving their money out. Bitch, somebody come up there and put hands on everybody in that motherfucking office.
How many people had to wait? Months.
Months, dog, for refunds and shit.
And he was smiling, looking at them. Oh, checks came in, but ain't none of them y'all's. These for me. He released a statement through his lawyer, James L. Walker Jr.
You better get one.
First, I want to thank the thousands of people nationwide who have texted, called, or messaged me in the midst of this unfortunate situation with prayers and words of support. Please know that I have done nothing illegal or wrong. When the truth comes out, it will be confirmed that I followed all rules and protocol with the approval of the then financial aid officers in any grants, scholarships, or awards given to me as a student who attended class all year round and traveled abroad on y'all money. Also know that I would never do anything to hurt the institution I love such, or the thousands of students who are a part of the Howard University family that I have the privilege to serve during my undergraduate experience at Howard. It is very sad that in an attempt to attack the current leadership of the school, a portion of my financial profile was illegally shared with media outlets without any conversation or approval from me or my legal team. That's a good point. Specifically, the story that was posted this morning fails to explain the full scope of my 7-year experience at Howard University and is the most misleading if taken out of context. I graduated from Howard at the top of my undergraduate class, and I will soon conclude my graduate studies at Howard also amongst the top of my class without a blemish on my record. In all my years at Howard University, I have served this university and my student body in the most ethical and caring manner. When all is fully disclosed, the truth will prevail, and I know I will be vindicated. I only ask those commenting and posting hurtful things to me and my family to please reserve judgment. Also, and more important to me than this false and misleading story, is a critical violation of my rights by someone associated with my beloved university. Someone had broken into the school files and shared my files without taken out of financial context portray a very misleading situation. I pray that the university will investigate how students' files of financial aid information can be shared and disclosed illegally without approval, and a clear violation of the Family Education Rights and Privacy Act. My attorney has reached out to the university in hopes of rectifying this matter. In the interim, I will unfortunately remain silent and allow the process to play out under the advice of my counsel, James L. Walker Jr., in an effort to protect me from future misleading stories. Please respect my privacy and continue to pray for our university and its leadership.
This is going to be really interesting, mm-hmm. because bitch, they fired folks. Something happened.
Yeah, they fired six people, right, allegedly. Right. And so, the university did release it saying, like, yeah, we fired some people. Hilltop HU breaking date. The HU president, 17, released a statement in response to anonymous authored Medium post alleging Howard University financial employee stole $1 million in financial aid funding. And it says, it just keeps open. Okay, give me a second. Let me just tab load. And I'll read you guys their statement. Mm-hmm. All right. Why doesn't this want to be bigger?
Yeah, and it's one of those things where the quote unquote truth will come out, because you better hope all your I's crossed. I mean, all your T's crossed and all your I's dotted. Because, mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's,
you better hope that you are like everything. You better have a motherfucking cool ass tie. People gonna be like, no, nigga.
They might want to take all that SoundCloud shit down if, you know, that's his SoundCloud page. Because, you know, it sounds like he got some, got some bars on there. That
when you walk around these four crows, people gonna be like, bitch, where you get this money from?
So he got some bars that officially like tell the story.
Come on.
I took your check and I bought a car. Come slob on my knob. Go get a bob.
Come on.
I love Black Rob, and I'm robbing blacks on my job. So that statement was, in accordance with my commitment to continuous progress, in February 2015, I initiated a proactive review of Howard University's Office of Financial Aid to ensure the office was providing the best support to our community. As part of this process, I was alerted in December 2016 that there may have been some misappropriation in university provided financial aid funds. From the moment I was alerted, there may have been a misappropriation of funds. I've taken the situation extremely seriously. So the university, you know, I was talking about, y'all need to look into how my rights was violated. Everything was legal and da da da. The president is like, yeah, it looked like it was some misappropriation. I let some people go. I immediately informed the board of trustees that together we moved swiftly to the investigation. You know, immediately engaged an outside auditor, RSM, to determine whether there had been misappropriation of Howard funds by staff in the Office of Financial Aid or elsewhere, and if so, the magnitude of that misappropriation. The auditors completed their investigation and reported the results to me in May 2017. Investigators found that from 2007 to 2016,
woo,
university grants were given to some university employees who also received tuition remission. The audit revealed that the combination of university grants and tuition remission exceeded the total cost of attendance. As a result,
wow.
Yeah, as a result, some individuals received inappropriate refunds. Note that the university grants are institutional funds used to help support students with student charges. They are not federal funds or donor directed funds. In July 2017, I self-reported this issue to the Department of Education and assured them that we would provide regular updates on the investigation. The investigation of individual employee actions was completed September 2017. As a result, six employees have been fired for gross misconduct and negligent and neglect of duties. That don't sound like nothing. Don't sound like it was legal or above the board. We will refer this matter to criminal prosecution as appropriate. Third Coast Higher Education, another outside expert, was also brought in to specifically to determine if any misappropriation of federal funds occurred. At this point, Third Coast found no misappropriation of federal funds related to the issue. Man, no wonder they had to go to that meeting with Trump. The financial integrity of Howard University's operations is paramount. Strong measures have been taken following the RSM investigation to ensure this never happens again. As part of these reform efforts, significant new policies and procedures have been implemented to strengthen Howard's internal controls with respect to awarded financial aid. And then they have all the bullet point change.
Question. Tyrone, was he a student?
Apparently a student employee.
Okay.
And that allows them to reimburse some of your tuition. Right. And also to apply for grants, and I guess he applied for the mostest.
I think so.
I mean, when you got bars, you don't have time to
slob on my knob. I'm popping these niggas like a colonel on a cop. Woo! Cut my shit clean like an Asian with a bob. Made back in Sweden, made all these bitches sob.
Maybach is sweet.
Like a nigga with
Asian
a
with
bob.
The bob.
Made these niggas sob.
The shit you cannot rob. Like them black boys in China trying to rob. You ain't clever enough to be black China with the rob.
Oh.
I got these niggas like, how you do that, top? I drop a quick 16, let it feed Chicago. Cause I'm with Lil, Jeremy, JC, them my niggas out in Brooklyn. You popping off your crazy snatch your wig and get it.
Took it.
Jail flow, drop some bars now. All these niggas shookin'. Drop a pic on Instagram, they ain't liking, but they looking. If you see me out, make sure it's D, it's mad.
Woo! Fight flames, okay? I don't care what y'all say. Y'all can try to act like y'all can do better, but y'all can't, okay? And you definitely can't rob people better. So y'all can go ahead and forget about
you
that.
You definitely can't rob people better.
but yes, it's not looking too good for the homie, man. I mean,
it ain't looking good. But I tell you that you better have everything together. And some people might be like, well, your name popped up, so I don't give a damn.
That nigga had Tyrone trending.
Trending dog.
Tyrone, like, it's because the it's so impressive that it's like he immediately raised the stock for all Tyrones to the highest level ever.
Yeah,
but it's still in, so it's then it's back to the normal for it's back to the bottom for the Tyrones.
Yeah,
like
poor Tyrones out there. Look, I'm just trying to keep the name clean. Y'all putting it up on the Tyrones.
Like, you know how hard I work to get these jobs with the name Tyrone, and you just out here.
I mean, Erica fucked it up. I mean, come on, dog, you can't be fucking it up too.
Right, our stock was at an all-time low after Erica Badu got a hold of, and now we're messed up. Now we back to the end, you know. But yeah, he also had some pictures out, man. I wish I could find pictures, y'all. Oh my god,
I wish you could do.
Listen, these pictures of Tyrone. I wonder how I can find these pictures because somebody got them. I can probably just Google the name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Give me one second.
I'll go on the Twitter.
I'm a Google name. Y'all, these pictures, dog. He was balling today.
So these are actually him?
Yeah. His account, I mean, it's for a college student, you know, he was balling real good. I know that much. I mean, I'm not saying you got to be broke when you in college,
right?
But, I mean, you're flossing. The way he was flossing, it's hard to say. Man, wait till y'all see these pictures, y'all. Oh my God. All right, I found some. I gotta put it on. In the chat so y'all can see it. We need to experience this together.
I ain't seen the pictures. All my pictures has been people joking.
Yeah, man, they got him out there, man. My favorite though is the joint with the fur. All right, let me see if I can make this bigger for you guys. But listen, this nigga was balling so good, y'all. This is one I love college. Look at this fur, y'all. Y'all see?
Oh,
it?
No, and them boots.
Listen. Okay.
What? Look, he looked like he got the flag girl boots on. He about to stomp on y'all asses and twirl this flag.
This nigga is wearing motherfucking Paddington Bear. Okay? 100% Paddington.
Right. Don't fuck with me, dog.
Okay? Like,
I'm warm up in the...
Like, he had the little man purse thing going. This joint with the green suit in front of the car with the shoes.
Oh, this is the beginning of a music video. What is happening here?
Listen.
The beginning of them Apple videos with the way you unlock shit face.
Mm-hmm. Check in with him.
Be like, ting,
and
ting,
do your job.
Right?
Oh, this joint right here with the pink cars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like.
Yo!
Listen, if you gonna be still and look luxurious.
Come on, if you gonna ball right.
Like, he look like a male model in that joint, man.
He do.
You know, like, these some good pictures, man. This one from the HuffPost Junior. Okay. Good for you, buddy. That's an artsy one. I like this one. Like, that's kind of retro. Kind of old with the orange and green. Can you see it?
Yes. That look like something that the basketball player would play.
Russell Westbrook?
Yes.
It do like some Russell Westbrook right there. this the more him in the fur with the Black Lives Matter.
Yes, come on, throw needling coats.
Actually, Black Financial Lives Matter.
Come on,
this is my personal favorite. This is unfuckwittable, dog. This nigga was, listen, he elevating on these hoes.
Yes, he looked like he floating
with y'all money. Okay, listen, unfucking bothered.
Where them strings at, dog?
I low key hope he get away. I can't even. Like, I can't even.
I mean, did Ava shoot this? Come on, bitch.
You know what I'm saying?
All them bright ass colors.
Like, I'm kind of rooting for Tyrone the scammer. Okay, like, if Tyrone, I mean, the money's gone. What else y'all want from the man? Okay. I think maybe we should search forgiveness. Okay, let's search our hearts and think about, you know, maybe letting bygones be bygones.
He is styling and profiling with all the financial aid money.
All y'all money. Run.
Financial aid. Financial helping me.
Run the schools.
Yes, run the schools.
Run the schools. This nigga is run the schools.
Run them schools pockets.
Yes, Tyrone. Listen, okay? Oh, man. He's... Pleasure, guys. This is him on the phone with after he got your financial aid, new MacBook. Yes,
he making more purchases.
All the coins, please. Yes, it's me, Tyrone.
Yes, transfer that over.
Yeah, transfer from my savings to my spendings. My
come
check-ins.
On, I like to put it in a Swedish account.
This is some real nice looking food. Traveling abroad with y'all money,
living it nicely.
Mm-hmm. This dude was balling, man. Yo, he won.
Styling and profiling.
This man won, okay? Now, y'all want, how much of that is actually just jealousy? That's what I want to know, okay? So, y'all sound a little jealous to me. Because you
got to change his name. Tyrone, but I'll be Tyrone no more pretty soon.
So, because you got student loan debt, he's supposed to not be balling?
Right?
Is that what I'm hearing?
That's what you hearing.
Really, Black Twitter? Really?
Yep.
That's got all his business on the street? Hmm? That's like, I couldn't wait to hop on the computer. They found every picture of this nigga. Every picture this ever taken on. Right?
Come like, on, if it uploaded, they was like, oh, we got that bitch.
Every nigga on Twitter right now is like, when somebody owe you money and you surrounded some new shoes. That's how y'all been Tyrone all day. Like, this nigga got some flip-flops. This motherfucker, are you serious?
Right.
Those aviator shades.
Come
this
on.
Motherfucker.
That real coconut water, what's happening here? And yeah, could you imagine it's another Tyrone that don't up doing something else? Well, that ain't me trending. I'm good today.
Tyrone Hankerson, an even. And I think we in his due, okay?
Shout out to Black Twitter.
Congratulations. Sorry.
College edition.
Yeah, sorry they had to expose you like this, brother, but you know, you are the coin, so I'm sure you'll be able to mount a very rigorous defense. All right, guys, that's all we wanted to talk about today. We'll talk to y'all Saturday to feedback. Also, Saturday is when we're doing Balls Deep in the afternoon, me and Justin. So that means Karen should be able to be here.
I will.
And that's it for now. So, and hopefully we'll do a recap of Rare One this week too. Maybe tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
So, all right. Until then, I love you. Hold on. I'm sorry. Don't forget to get the Fetty Carl shirt from TeePublic, okay? It's on sale right now. I think the sale is over after a certain period of time, and this might be a one-off. Right. Might not sell this shirt ever again, so get it while you can, because once it's out of stock, it's gone.
Right.
All right, guys, until next time, love you.
I love you too. Mwah.